Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning. How did it get to be Saturday morning? Wow. It was by in a hurry. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are all together in our cozy little quarters again, alive and well, kicking, looking at the market, saying, my gosh, I wonder what the other half does, or something like that.
It's just it's a crazy week.
It is. It's nuts.
In so many ways, but yeah.
To the regulars, welcome back. And if you're new to the show, stick around. This is really the only financial show you really ever need to listen to.
I mean, I agree.
Yeah. And you know, you can listen to the other ones that are pre-recorded and that kind of thing if you want to, but it's just a big waste of time. My humble opinion, which I very seldom have any trouble asserting to the public.
That the is heck? Not usually an issue.
No. Anyway, operative word in that little description was financial. And we are going to do a financial show. You all know me well enough to know I could sit here for an hour and talk all about the events of the week and so on. But I've already heard them all for 12 hours a day, at least 5 days a week, forever. We're not going to do that.
No. That is the last thing I want to do today.
Yeah. So if you want to express a political opinion, tell us why it matters to you financially, and we'll talk about it. And all you got to do.
I actually have a good topic about that today. It is not a political topic outside of the fact that the tax law could change with the new administration. And I don't know if it will change this year. There's a lot of debate about that, and I'll get into that later. But I want to show what it would do if the new administration simply repealed the Trump tax cuts.
Oh, yeah. That would be unpleasant.
But you gave away my conclusion already.
Well, I think it's kind of a prima facie thing. Anyway, if you want to give us a call 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. And we'll talk about what you want to talk about. The closest thing I'm going to do to even mentioning, if we can help it, politics, is to say that I used to be a member of the National Association of Manufacturers, and I used to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce. And what they did this week disqualifies them from any reasonable person remaining a member. That's my opinion. You can argue if you want to, but please do it on your own time because I'm not going to talk about it anymore. What we're going to talk about is this market is somewhere, it's in levitation mode. It has no visible means of support to me, so it has to be all on enthusiasm. So at this point, there's two things we can do. Just go along with it or try to figure out how long it's going to last or how to position ourselves or whatever. But we've got to do that, or we've got to question seriously our own methods of investing and that kind of thing. So that's what Adam and I have been talking about this for the whole week, about where to put money. Not if to put money, but where to put money. So that's the kind of thing I want to concentrate on today. What's going to have the highest probability of success for investors through the rest of this year and the one after it anyway? I think we have to kind of take these things in two-year segments now. A lot can change over that time, and that's enough. The question is not, should we remain invested for 2 years? The question is, how should we remain invested for 2 years. So this week.
Yeah, it was a crazy week that ended up with solid gains. Monday started off pretty innocent. The futures were up.
Yeah,
and
the market was up.
The market climbed a little bit at the open. And then shortly after that, everything started plunging.
Yep.
And by midday, the S&P was off by more than 2%. It was pretty ugly. And then things started to turn around towards the afternoon, but the year still started off down more than 1.5%. So not a great start. It didn't look like 2021 was going to be anywhere near the year in the market that 2020 was. But then Tuesday came, and the market started climbing, and it really never looked back. Not even the runoff election in Georgia, the incident at the Capitol building, a terrible jobs report on Friday, or big tech censoring all dissidents and all of that, nothing held the market back.
All those
back.
Things should scare investors off.
Not even a little bit. Not even a blip.
Didn't care.
Didn't register. Yeah. So the Dow put together a nice gain of 1.6%, the S&P 1.8%, and the NASDAQ 2.4%. And it's ironic that the NASDAQ was leading the way because on Monday, the NASDAQ was down more than the other two indexes, and the thought was that the new administration would be clamping down on big tech, which that doesn't make any sense to me because if you look, I mean, all of the money out of big tech went to one candidate, and it is the candidate that is about to take over, is now the president-elect. So it doesn't make any sense.
So the market got a little disoriented on Monday.
Yeah, but it made up for it the rest of the week. So that trade righted itself, I think.
Yep.
The week of trading looked a little bit different than recent times, and the trading was not separated by growth versus value. And that has been overriding theme of the last few years has been that growth is hot and value is in the tank. Not in the tank, but just not seeing the price appreciation that growth is. And they both were up, and they were both up about the same amount this week. So that was interesting to see. The real winners of the week, though, were small caps. Traders were encouraged by the printing presses starting to fire up in Washington. If you listen closely, you can hear it already.
I can. And it's all electronic.
And they're thinking that will be pretty stimulative to smaller businesses, which I agree with that.
The other thing that would stimulate small businesses, letting them open.
That would also help. The Russell 2000 ETF was up just under 6% this week alone and is now up almost 30% since the election. On a sector basis, we're seeing some interesting trades as well, with energy leading all sectors higher in 2021.
How long do you think it would be before you could sit here and use words like that?
Well, I don't think it's happened in the last 6 years. So
we're almost into year 7 on the show, and this could be a first.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's been weeks here and there, but it's been a terrible, terrible run for energy. But the Biden administration's stance on fracking is probably going to drive oil prices higher. We're already seeing it at the pumps. And that will ironically benefit oil companies. And so this might be one of the most ironic cases of unintended consequences I've ever seen.
Isn't that the truth?
Energy has rallied 9.4% to start the year and is up 42% since the election. Yeah. Materials is the second biggest gainer in the new year, gaining 5.6%. Financials and consumer discretionary are not far behind. The losers so far have been consumer staples, which is down 0.9%, and utilities and communications are the other two that show very small losses year to date.
We've been predicting the materials sector to take off because when the inevitable infrastructure bill.
It has to happen at some point.
Yeah,
we've been talking about it for 4 years. Yeah. There's bipartisan support.
And it's going to have 12 zeros.
Yeah, I agree.
And we're talking about a massive spending spree that is about to happen. And the intelligent investor will try to figure out how to nab some of that. Because, you know, they can't hide it. It's going to be spent all over heck. So materials are one of them. I think you're going to see increases in things like the price of lumber, that sort of thing. Transportation will probably be good because the stuff needs to be shipped around and so on. Much more right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax-deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have, as usual, a trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Well, as you may have remembered from Adam remoting in recently from the lovely state of North Carolina, they went up to the Biltmore. And if you have not seen it, you should just make a point to go. It's truly
awesome.
Something to behold. It was one of many mansions built by Cornelius Vanderbilt, who made a tremendous fortune when he recognized that most goods needed to be moved from where a ship could dock to where they were going. And he thought, and he was correct, that the railroad was the way to go. So he had been involved in some transportation anyway, but he made a fabulous fortune by recognizing the coming value of rail transportation. When he died, he left his entire fortune, which was massive. He was at one time the richest man in America. He left his estate to his son William and William's 4 sons, and William did very well too. Well, fast forward to 1973, and they held a family reunion where 120 people, family members, came. Out of that 120 people, how many were millionaires on the day that they had their little get together? I'll let it be known if there's any wiggle room on this, but just out of 120, how many were still millionaires? All right, back to the market. I don't know if it's unstoppable, but it sure is fun.
For now, it is. Yep. Do need to be a little bit cautious moving forward because valuations are very high. They were high when I said that last week, and now they're even higher. So,
yeah.
And as good as a week as it was for stocks, it was a really terrible week for fixed income.
TLT became tilt.
Yeah. Actually, I was just going to mention that. The long treasury ETF, TLT, dropped more than 4% this week alone, and there wasn't any part of the bond market that I could find that didn't decline. TIP, the ETF that tracks TIPS, lost 70 basis points, while the overall bond market was down around 1%. The other side of this equation, though, as always goes with fixed income, is that rates were up. So they have definitely started to climb. The 10-year treasury rose pretty dramatically this week. It's now over 1.1%. That wasn't even at 1 when we started the week.
Remember all the hand-wringing that was going on, what, a year ago or whatever? Oh, the inverted yield curve, and oh, things were going to just fall apart, on and on. No inverted yield curve left these days.
Nope. The curve looks pretty good, actually. Yeah, it just needs to climb across the curve to higher rates, which would be really, really nice as a financial planner to be able to get yield for clients without having to take that much risk. So that is the biggest question on everybody's mind right now. Where do I get some yield? And the answer right now is you don't. So oil and gas drove commodities higher this week, despite gold and silver's attempts to bring them down. Gold dropped just under 3%. Silver dropped more than 4%. So a really bad week in the precious metals. But it was offset by a gain in oil of 7.4% and natural gas up over 6%.
Yay, finally.
Yeah,
and now it's up to low.
It's still fairly cheap, but I hope it doesn't climb too much higher.
Well, there is a point where it starts to hurt real people.
Yeah. I fear that time is going to be here sooner rather than later, and I haven't said that in a long time. International markets rallied along with domestic markets. Russia, the UK, and China all gained more than 6% this week, so really, really good gains there. Emerging markets gained more than 5.5% this week as well. They've been on a little bit of a tear lately. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that I was going to talk a little bit about being overvalued, but I've kind of already gone over that. And then despite the ever-present threat of rising coronavirus cases, the ISM manufacturing and services reports both showed pretty strong growth last month, with the manufacturing report being the stronger of the two. Not really surprising considering the shutdowns are affecting the services businesses more than manufacturing. But that good news kind of offset the sort of poor jobs report. But for whatever reason, this jobs report was really swept under the rug. I don't know if it was everything else going on, but every jobs report up until yesterday has been the most important jobs report we've ever seen. This one was not for some reason.
I wonder
why. I don't know.
That is a political question that I will skirt. But this is probably the most predictable jobs report that we've done since we've been doing this show.
Yeah, and if you didn't catch it, it was the headline number was down 100. It was a decline of 140,000 jobs. This is the first decline that we've seen in quite some time since the coronavirus.
Yeah, that was Wednesday's ADP report and the BLS report, Bureau of Labor Standards, who does it for the government.
Statistics.
They do too. Statistics. The establishments reported minus 140, but a little bit of underlying good news. The household survey was up 149,830. And that means a lot of people are going out again and starting up their personal businesses, their subcontracting, that sort of thing. So the activity is there. It's weak, but it is there. And that will translate into an improvement as people get back to work. So don't think that the place is just spiraling down out of control. That's not what's happening.
No, it wasn't that bad of a report, but it is a little pause in the trend that we've seen recently, which is job creation. And really not surprising considering everything that's happening with coronavirus right now. It's a lot of predictions for February, and none of them are good.
No. I've got a little event coming up in my life here very soon at 8:15 tomorrow morning. I get my COVID shot.
Yay.
That means we're one person closer to getting the country opened up.
That's right. I probably will not be eligible until this summer, but I will definitely go out and do it when it is available.
And when we get enough of the population that the idiots who run certain states can no longer justify their shutdowns because enough people are now vaccinated, then you're going to start seeing some job creation, small business growth, and that sort of thing.
I can't wait.
Now, and I'm heartened to watch things like the Barstool Sports guy, Portnoy.
Mm-hmm.
$21 million so far he's raised, and Aaron Rodgers just bumped it a half.
Nice.
Yeah. $500,000's not an inconsequential donation.
No,
and all he's
not.
Doing with that, they're picking up. You have to apply for it if you've got a small business that you're afraid is going to close forever. You can apply, and then he picks out some winners and bails them out, and it's really just cool to watch. Plus, he's fun to listen to. He's an interesting guy.
He is. He's a very interesting guy.
So, where do we go next week?
I'm not even going to guess. I don't know.
Wimp. I'm going to guess. It's either going to be up or down or flat. I'll let you know next Saturday.
All right, then.
And I will be accurate, too. I know how to read these things. See, anything else we need? There have been 12 bull markets that were as long as this one. We just passed 200 days. That's kind of a milestone for a bull market. There have been 12 of those since World War II. And this one is the strongest of all of them. How's that for interesting? Who'd have guessed? Some of the other biggies, who remembers the 2009 bull market? We woke up on March 9th, 2009. Futures were down. Market opened up. Tanked again. It had been 18 months to the day, and the market was just, it was a shadow of its former self, barely. And all of a sudden, it hesitated, and then it crept up. And it crept up some more. And pretty soon, if you had sold out at the bottom of that 18 months, you realize that you are already being left behind.
Yeah,
that was a strong one.
Or if you sold out any time before that,
yeah,
because
true.
No one believed that that was the end.
Nope. But that one was really a monumental thing. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I want to guess at the trivia question.
All righty. Shoot.
Not a single... Zero. Not a single millionaire in attendance at the family reunion.
Now, why would you think that with this fabulously wealthy family?
Because I just read about their history.
Well, in that case, you are correct. There were no millionaires left by 1973.
Now, that has an asterisk on it.
It
because
does.
That was only those that attended that
right.
family reunion.
Right.
And they were probably all looking for a handout because they were poor.
Yeah. The family members who still had a lot of money were probably busy doing things like going to work.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Or maybe. Becoming TV reporters.
Yes, coming out. Right.
That is correct. The old saying in our business says, rags to riches to rags in three generations.
Sounds right.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
It does.
Excellent. Well, you guys get your snow shovels out again for tonight because it's going to be chilly out where you are.
It is. It was, what was the temperature this morning, Lane? It was only 40, but it's supposed to be colder tonight.
Yeah, that's what I hear. All right, well, stay well. Thanks. We've got your address. We'll take care of you, and I appreciate listening.
And as I promised last time, I will be sending this to a no-kill shelter. Thank you very
Absolutely
much.
Wonderful. You couldn't do any better. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Jim, if you're calling to guess a trivia, just got one. Otherwise, we're having the music play, and I've got to take a break first, and we'll get you right after we come back. All right, we've got to pay some bills here, or I'll be talking to nobody pretty soon. So we'll hang up, come back. We've got some topics today, like how do investors face a democratic America, and what do you do if you get sudden wealth? And Adam's got some looks at things. So we could probably spend 2 hours today, but we don't have them, so we'll talk real fast instead. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The U.S. topped 4,000 daily deaths from the coronavirus for the first time this past week. There is some good news, though. Pfizer's chief scientific officer says studies suggest their coronavirus vaccine is effective against the highly transmittable new variants coming out of the U.K. and South Africa. The surge seen in this country being seen for the most part in a number of Sunbelt states. That's where spikes of the virus were seen over the summer months as well. Johns Hopkins University shows the U.S. had 4,085 deaths on Thursday and 275,000 new coronavirus cases. Employers shed jobs last month for the first time since April, cutting 140,000 positions. The unemployment rate stayed steady at 6.7%. That's the first time it has not fallen since April. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 56 points Friday, the NASDAQ up 134. This is SRN News.
America's Everglades. There's no other place like it in the world. But we need your help to restore and protect it for future generations. So your kids, your grandkids, even your great-grandkids can experience and enjoy this national treasure. To learn more, visit EvergladesFoundation.org. That's EvergladesFoundation.org.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. With Christmas behind us and 2021 here, the last thing you want to hear is somebody trying to sell you something. That's why at Underwoods, we'd like to stop and just say thank you to all the people that came in our stores over the last year, masks and all. Whether you bought from us or not, we want to thank you for stopping by and giving us the chance to help. Here on the First Coast, there are a lot of folks trying to sell you jewelry, but at Underwoods, we're different. Because we consider it an honor for somebody to come in and just give us the chance to help. Because if we do a good job, we might get a chance to serve again. Having served North Florida since 1928, all of us here understand what a customer really gives us during that visit to Underwoods, their trust. And it's up to us to do everything we can to keep it. So on behalf of everybody on the Underwood team, thank you again for coming into our stores. And we wish each of you a happy new year.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle. And done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor for crying out loud. Florida State License CGC 152-6479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
It'll be cloudy today, high 55. Mostly clear tonight, down to 35. Sunny on Sunday, high 58. Mostly cloudy Sunday night, low 44. And then Monday, mostly sunny, high 68. 20% chance of rain Monday night. Mostly cloudy, low of 53. And then Tuesday through Friday, partly sunny with highs into the middle 60s.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a quick note. We had another success in our little corporate group. again this week with the SA-44. Those of you who are regular listeners probably remember that's the form that you fill out if you have had a life-altering event that changes your income, and at the same time you're on Social Security, and you may well be getting overcharged for Medicare under what's called the IRMA monthly income adjustment amounts. And if you don't know what you're paying for Medicare, look it up. Go onto the Social Security website and see what they're taking out of your check. If you feel like it isn't accurately representing your income level anymore, there's something you can do about it. It's called an SA-44. Well, this week we got authorizations back for a couple, and the savings this year are going to be $7,816.80 after tax. And not what bad. Makes me really happy about that, it was me. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you?
Real fine. What's up?
I have a question to ask you about a trust, but I wanted to mention one thing prior to that. I just heard on the news just the last day or two, Public Supermarkets has made an application with the state of Florida through the governor to try to give out COVID shots.
22 have been authorized.
Oh, okay. Well, good. You know a little bit more about it than I do. Okay. The question I have about the trust is I have two grandchildren that are getting ready to go to college, which I'm trying to find out if the market goes down in the next 6 months or whatever, I would like to be able to purchase or give them some shares of stock. And I'm trying to find out if I create a trust and give them like one share of stocks that are not burdened with having to pay taxes on it, or should I just wait until I'm on my last legs and create the trust and then give them the benefit of the shares of stock at that time?
Well, there's a number of things to consider, one of which is you don't necessarily need a trust. You can open up a Uniform Transfer to Minors Act. Are they under 18?
No, they're college age.
Okay, so
that won't work then.
Yeah, they're no.
Well, so what I'm trying to prevent is I don't want to give them X number of dollars in shares and then have them turn around and go buy a new vehicle.
Aha! So you want to keep the ownership yourself?
Well, no, I'm not concerned with that. I mean, I'm just trying to give them a good opportunity. They're going to come out of college or whatever, maybe going to get a master's, and I don't want to have any kind of conflict with them having money. It would disqualify them to be able to either go under a scholarship or to turn around and use the money at their discretion.
Okay, so you have to find a vehicle to hold those shares that they do not necessarily control. If you put it in their control, they don't care what you say they should do with it.
They can. It is theirs.
It is theirs,
yeah.
Period.
So you can't give it to them directly, which you obviously know. So a trust is a good way to do that. But it doesn't really convey ownership until your death. So
right. you remain the trustee.
Right.
They're the beneficiaries. That's how you would set that up.
Which is not a bad deal for them because then during your life those shares can appreciate, and when it does ultimately transfer to the grandchildren, you get under current tax law, you would get a step up in basis and they would not owe taxes on the gains.
Right. Now, you don't have to do any of this. You can just keep them and put a note in your, if you have a will or a trust or both, you can just make a small alteration that designates certain shares or certain amounts to them that they'll get when you pass away. You can do it the other way. If you're trying to impress them with you are involved in the market, you got to start thinking about your own finances and that kind of thing. Having that trust where they could look at it but they can't use it would be a wonderful idea.
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to protect them in a way. In other words, if the market goes down substantially and I can give them good quality stocks, that they would be able, that would appreciate over time, that they can't touch unless, let's say that in 10 years they want to buy a house or whatever the deal may be, this would be a substantial help to them in order to qualify to do that. But in the meantime, I don't want them to be able to get turn around and decide, well, I'm just going to go have a wonderful vacation in the Caribbean and take X number of dollars and go my merry way.
Yeah, you don't really have to wait for the market to go down. That's not really going to influence it. As long as the gift that you would make, well, it's not going to be a gift because you don't want to have a completed gift. That makes it their ownership. So if you just segregate assets in a trust for each of them that they can't use, it doesn't really matter what the market price is because you haven't transferred ownership yet.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I understand. Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, anytime. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Yeah. The problem with giving to adults is that once you make the gift, it's theirs.
It's completed.
Yeah,
and once you're 18, you're an adult.
Exactly. So there's probably some pretty complicated forms of trust that you could set up, but it's going to cost you a fortune, and I don't think it's going to be worth
the
money.
And I should mention, if you transfer your shares to a trust or to someone else, don't do it if the shares are underwater. In other words, if you have a loss on them.
Yeah, take the loss first.
Take the loss, write it up, and then put the money in instead, and then they can buy it back if they want to later. You can buy it back for them later. But if it's highly appreciated and you give it away, then if you give it away at death, they take ownership, then they get a step-up basis on it.
Yeah, but if you give it away and it's highly appreciated during
Then they'll inherit your basis.
Right. So that's negative for them. Yeah, they're going to owe a bunch of taxes. So,
but definitely, if you have any losses on things that you're looking to give away, take the loss yourself and give them the money instead. That's better financially for everybody.
Exactly.
Okay. Captain Dave, my friend, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Never better. What's
up? That's good. All right, here's a mystery question. How long before hyperinflation sets in?
17 and a half days.
Come on, we've been messing around with this thing and messing around with it. And I don't know, maybe the laws of supply and demand have been canceled. I just don't know.
No, actually, it's simpler than that.
According to modern monetary theory, I believe they have been canceled. But
yeah,
we've been talking about this for, I don't know, the last 10 years, probably, maybe longer.
Yeah.
But the signs have just never been there until now. Now there are signs that it actually might happen.
And what's the difference?
We have a different government.
But yeah, well, we're introducing a couple of things that haven't been there. One of them is the velocity of that money, where when we were printing the really big bucks a few years ago, and we sent a lot of it. There's $15 trillion unaccounted for that went to banks in Europe. But there was a whole bunch that went into our banks, too, to create that cushion that they needed for the stress tests. So that money was created, but it was not used. So it had a velocity of zero. And the inflationary value of anything is how much is it times the velocity. Well, anything times zero is zero, so it didn't translate. But the money is starting to flow now. The banks have plenty of reserves and all the stuff that's going out and stimulus and the infrastructure and so on. That's going to ripple through society with an average velocity of about 1.5. That, I don't care what modern monetary theory says, that is inflationary. And you're starting to see it from the pull side. Shortages are coming up in things like oil. You are going to see it ramp up, or I am just absolutely out of my mind, old fashioned. But I don't see how it can help.
No, I think.
Well, they've been telling us. I'm sorry.
No, not a problem. We've got plenty of time.
All right, I'll hang on.
Oh no, we actually have a full minute before the break.
Yeah,
so
you got to take another half minute for your thoughts.
They've been telling us for years that, you know, the national debt is going to catch up. The national debt is going to catch up.
Yep.
Now we put it up another 30% from the point we thought we were all going to die.
I tell you, when you defy the laws of physics, something bad happens. When you defy the laws of economics, something bad happens. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you when. You know, and I know.
There's another quickie, if you have time for a quickie.
I don't really, but I got to put you on. I got to put you on hold for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, and we'll get some thoughts on silver, which is one of my favorite topics.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939 for your free CD. Call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have Dave on the line, but I wanted to just throw out our usual fourth quarter note. This is sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794 and let Troy do it. Captain Dave, thanks for waiting.
All right. So I was out of silver on Thursday. Because what I've been doing is, you know, and as I said, you know, I don't mind shooting little craps with a few bucks.
Sure.
But I've been working on two point swings in the silver market, which is pennies actually the cost of silver. When I make the two points, I'm out. I don't care if it goes up 7 points. I don't care. I'm out. I've reached my goal. I'm out.
Yeah.
And I have a stop loss.
Okay.
So yesterday we lost 7%.
Right.
So I think I'm going to buy some silver Monday morning.
I guess what I acquired a little bit of this week. Not silver.
Some kind of metal. I'll bet you some kind of hardcore something.
Better believe it. I've rebought. I'd like you have been cutting back on it, but I've rebought a little bit of gold this week because it makes no sense to me to see those things change on a downward track during an upward trend.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
The reason I like silver is it does have an industrial use.
Yes.
I mean, it is, you know, it is something.
Yeah, there's constant demand for it. More and more,
so,
in fact.
Well, at least they're darn inflated. You know, well,
yeah.
Maybe it's not. Maybe $25 silver is what it ought to be.
Well, I don't know. What it almost hit 40 back in the latter part of the first 10 years of this millennium.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It fell very suddenly, very hard from there. But the reasons that it went up were very similar to what we have going on right now. So who knows? It's a crapshoot.
That's
volatile.
That's why I have a stop loss.
Right. Well, you got to handle volatility somehow if you're going to get into metals. And again, I would caution anybody that a very small percent of your portfolio should ever be in something that volatile.
Yeah.
But you can have fun.
You
got the time, so
always,
you have fun.
You know the story of the bulls, the bears, and the pigs, right?
Yep. Yeah. Somebody gets slaughtered in the end, don't they?
All right. You guys have a great weekend.
Be good, David. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Yeah, if you sit around, you get a lot of time and watch these things, you can do that with, it doesn't have to be precious metals, but things that are volatile, you decide on an up and a down, and you sell and you buy, and you can do it over and over, but you're responsible for that. Nobody else is, and we won't help you do that.
Yeah.
But we can certainly chuckle when people make some money or lose some money. All right, did you want to wrap up some more on this?
What I want to talk about is what would happen. So during the campaign, Biden promised that he was going to repeal the Trump tax cuts, but also not raise taxes on people below $400,000 in
and
income.
You're thinking maybe that's a little duplicitous?
Well, I mean, I guess it could be done. You would have to pass something else at the same time to replace the Trump tax cuts for people making under $400,000. So I'm not going to say that it was a lie, because it is possible that could happen. So
it's not a lie. It's an impossibility. Without
the other action, right. Yeah. So he didn't really say how that he was going to do that. So what I just want to look at is, if you repeal the Trump tax cuts, how would it affect people who make at $400,000 or below in income? And the answer is not well. It really does not do any favors for anyone making a little bit of money. Even at moderate levels of income, the increases are pretty steep, especially if you look at a percentage basis. So let's take a single person making $25,000. In 2020, this past year, they would have paid about $1,300 in taxes. In 2017, prior to the passage of the Trump tax cuts, they would have been paying about $2,331 in taxes. That's an increase of over $1,000, or $84.75 monthly. That's an increase of 77.4%. So if you don't think it's going to hit you in the wallet, you would be incorrect. Now, I'm not saying that this is what is going to happen. The numbers for married filing jointly at $50,000 of income mirror that exactly. It would be an increase of 77.4%. And the really ironic thing is that the more money you make, the lower the percentage increase in your taxes. So it makes sense if you think about it, but it also, from what they're trying to accomplish, which is to benefit the middle and lower income people more, you're actually hitting them harder in their pocketbook than higher income
people. It's like gas taxes. They're regressive.
Exactly. So a single person making $200,000 would this year pay around $41,000. And the way we calculated this, we only looked at the standard deduction, standard deduction being lower back then and higher now, and nothing else. So just what you would pay in federal taxes. So we didn't take into consideration any other types of tax credits or exemptions that you might have. So a very simple analysis. But if you made $200,000 as a single person, it would be $41,000 in 2020, or $47,000 pre-tax cuts. So that's an increase of $6,257, $521 a month. That's an increase of 15%. And that is the one that does not match up for married filing jointly. Married filing jointly, making $400,000, double the single amount, actually gets hit way harder. they would get a tax increase of 27.1%.
Wow.
Because of the marriage penalty.
Yeah. Wow. And that marriage penalty has been repealed how many times?
So many, but it never quite fully goes away.
Right.
This is the closest I've seen it under the current tax law to being being equal, and there's still a slight penalty on certain things, but it's pretty even. But if we go back and revert back to the old tax law, it really is going to hit married people who make $400,000 plus filing jointly. Well, not the hardest, but it will hit them harder than a single person making $200,000.
Okay. Has anybody out there been paid yet in 2021?
Most people, well, a lot of people got a paycheck on the first.
Mm-hmm. Was it a little smaller than you might have thought? You know, that depends on one thing. If your employer, and it was optional for some, not for others. The federal government, by the way, opted into this thing. But if your employer opted in also, then you are now repaying those 4 months of FICA, in other words, Social Security mandatory taxes, that were not withheld for you over the 4 months of last year, last 4 months. So you now, instead of paying them back in 4 months, which was the original plan, you got a little bit of a break. You now have 12 months to repay the whole thing. But you're going to see a pretty sizable reduction in your paycheck because the Imperial Federal Government decided not to forgive that, which was sort of the original plan all along, to forgive it. It's been done before. Obama did it, forgave it. But don't be shocked and don't be confused. It's the money that you didn't get withheld last year interfacing now with your current paycheck. And I know there's a lot of people going to be mightily unhappy.
From what I understand, though, not a lot of companies actually did that.
No, but look at the federal government alone.
Did they all do it? The federal
government?
That
mandatory.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that.
Board.
All right.
So you're going to see a lot of people out there that are very upset about this thing. But that's it. It's your money to pay in. You just didn't do it yet. So there's nothing you can do about it as far as I know. All right. A quick note. Remember in your dour moments when you're getting scared of the market and everything that's going on right now that 50% of America is deliriously happy and 50% is just the exact opposite. You forget that fact or ignore it at your own peril as an investor. It is not a time when the market is likely to crash. It's not 1929. It's not 2008. It's none of those things. It's different. But it's not catastrophic.
But that still comes with a big asterisk.
Because
there are, as always, there are significant risks to the market. Yep. I personally think that this quarter for earnings may not live up to expectations. And I certainly think that risk exists in the second quarter as well.
I do too.
So let's be cautiously optimistic going forward.
Now, one more thing before we go. I read an article this week about choosing the best financial advisor. I dug into it, and I found the best five financial advisors in Jacksonville, and we weren't on it. And I couldn't figure that out for the life of me.
Obviously, it's wrong.
So I dug down deeper. They ranked these outfits by the amount of assets under management, and they all have in the billions. One of them had $34 billion. That was the smallest one. If you want to use a financial advisor who can help you with some things and talk to you and get to know you, don't go to one of those firms. That's ridiculous. Call us instead. All right, we got to run. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.